We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Of the Butting Heads podcast, part of Ramstock Radio and the Blue Wire Podcast Network. I'm Steve Barbero, here as always with Johnny Gomez. Johnny, the combine has come and I think gone. How you feeling, man? Any developments you saw at the combine that we should be interested in?
There's a couple of interesting facts that came from the combine. Steve, do you want to hear about who the Rams were interested in?
I would love to hear that.
Oddly enough, for a team that wasn't actually present at the combine, they did set an interview for a player. Not exactly who you'd expect. It was a guy named Romo Dunze, who is a wide receiver out of Washington. And yeah, not exactly the player you'd be expecting, considering, first of all, this is a wide receiver, which, okay, can they draft a wide receiver in the draft? Sure, but where would you expect the Rams to draft a wide receiver, Steve?
Not the first round.
Right.
Not the first round.
Right, and Odunze is a top 10 pick. So if the Rams were to really show this much interest in Odunze, they would have to trade into the top pick, which at a top 10 pick, which at the moment they hold the 19th overall pick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just to like jump right into it, if you've been keeping up with the news this week, Mike Evans signed a pretty huge deal to return to the Bucs, 2 years, $52 million. And when the list of teams came out that, oh, I just lisped really bad there. The list of teams came out that were interested in Evans if he were to hit free agency, lo and behold, there were the Rams, who have cap space. You know, I don't know if it's enough cap space to pay Mike Evans what he's going to make, but they meet with Mike, or they have Mike Evans on the radar. They meet with Romo Dunze. It's, you know, you can easily look at this and just be like, these are great players and the Rams are doing their due diligence in case they fall into their lap. But also, it kind of feels like they're up to something. And I'm not sure if I like what they're up to.
I don't either, man. It's kind of weird as to why the Rams are looking at these receiving options because I mean, can you really look at the wide receiver core that the Rams have and look to add another wide receiver? I guess I wouldn't consider it a pressing need, but I mean, these are guys that the Rams are targeting, like they're zeroing in on them. You know, I don't know how serious they were with Evans. Maybe they were, but the fact that they interviewed Odunze pretty much shows that they're interested. And, you know, again, having to move up really high to get him. Now, again, it could have been just seeing, you know, maybe if he falls kind of situation. But I don't know, man. It also kind of begs the question, maybe there's more to this than we're thinking, or maybe I'm just overthinking, but do you think there's a possibility that the Rams are trying to offload Cooper Kupp?
That's a great question. I would say no. I wouldn't completely rule it out, but just with, I don't know, like, they love Cooper Kupp. He was just out. Not that this matters. He was just spotted with Puka, Stafford, and McVay. I don't think they're looking to move on. Could they be expecting to move on from him, maybe? What's his cap situation? Like, when can we move on from him? After this season, you can move on to him for some dead cap, but not, it's not going to kill you. And like, I think drafting receiver makes a lot more sense than signing Mike Evans, who I love. I think he's a fucking monster, but you draft a guy, you get him on the books for a rookie contract. That would be a fair deal, but it's just, we're coming off a draft where they drafted so smart and it set us up so well for the future. And we have some huge, huge glaring needs at, you know, unsexy positions, I guess, even though edge rusher and cornerback are sexier than a lot of positions. And even if you look at offensive line there, it's just drafting a receiver in the first round or paying top of the top dollar for a receiver when you have Cooper Kupp on the books and you have Puka Nacua in the second year of a rookie contract. It's just so fucking unhinged and crazy and feels exactly like something they would do. And I hope they don't do it. We've done this before. You know, Tutu Atwell and Van Jefferson are not first round picks. But like, we've paid Allen Robinson. We've went out and we've drafted guys, you know, late second rounders with Tutu and with Van Jefferson, but in drafts where we didn't have picks. And it's like, just when you think they finally learned their lesson, I don't know. Like, yeah, like, I don't mind interviewing Odunze because, like, if he falls to 19 and he's by far the best player on your board, like, sure. But I think trading up would be crazy. And I think, I get having Mike Evans on your radar, but, like, you should not be paying any receiver near that contract right now.
Well, here's the thing about Odunze. Ignoring the fact that this guy is a top 10 pick, let's say by some miracle, Odunze falls out of the top 10. If he falls to, let's say, before the Colts, who would most likely take him if at pick 15. So let's say they trade the Saints, the 14th overall pick. To move up to get Odunze. I don't hate that idea because at that point, it's probably not a lot of capital that you're surrendering to move up five spots. Mm-hmm. But that's really like dream, like ultimate fantasy scenario. You know, this guy can go as high as number five to the Chargers. You know, if they have to choose between him and Malik Nabers out of LSU. So it wouldn't be out of the realm of possibilities that this guy can go number five overall, you know? And at the absolute latest that I see this guy falling is number nine to the Chicago Bears with their second first round pick.
So yeah, you would have to be. I'm just going through some mock drafts right now as well, and yeah, I've seen him at five in two different mocks, and the other one I think had him exactly where you just said, 9 or 10. So it's yeah, I mean, it's not a bad thing that they interviewed him, and the odds of us reading too much into it are astronomical. But like, it's still interesting. And on the cusp of free agency here, you know, these are the things that I think are worth talking about. There was some news on the Rams front today, Johnny, about Rams personnel. Did you see this?
I think I might have missed that.
They are not tendering Michael Hoyt.
Ah, I did not see that.
So yeah, that's the report that somebody reported. I didn't look into how credible this report is. Let me resource this. But hypothetically, if this is true, do you think they would try to, you know, re-sign him at a cheaper rate?
Yeah, I don't see why they wouldn't at least try, and I honestly don't see a huge market for him. So yeah, I think that's basically the point here. That doesn't necessarily mean that the Rams are not interested in bringing him back, just they didn't feel the need to put a tender on him, and meaning that they can get him at a cheaper rate. So yeah, I'm for it. If there is a team that goes out and signs him, then hey, thanks for your contributions, man. But I don't imagine this would be a huge loss either.
This was reported by at ML Football on Twitter. I have no idea how reliable this source is, but like, I also don't know why they'd be making up Michael Hoyt news. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, when you have like fringe journalists, and this might be a credited source. I apologize if they are. Like, it'd be bizarre if they were making up Michael Hoyt news. So I choose to believe that seems like a bizarre thing to like fake. Like, this is the news. So yeah, I would like him back on a cheap contract. He's certainly, we've talked so much about Michael Hoyt. He brought a lot to the table, and in a decreased role, you could shift his negatives out of your game when he's not out there covering people. So apologize if today's show comes off as a little disorganized. I think we're on the eve of free agency, and I thought it'd be just fun to just riff on what we think could happen, who's out there, who we're interested in. I'll start with this, Johnny. The Rams have $40.8 million in cap space, and this is without a decision having been made on Noteboom, which I think one way or another will clear cap space, whether he's restructured or whether he's cut pre or post June 1st. Either way, that's going to clear some space. Is there a player currently on the free agency market, and just some guys who are no longer on the market, for heads up, as the franchise tags came out, a lot of top free agents here: Josh Allen, edge rusher; Brian Burns, edge rusher; Kyle Duggar, safety; T. Higgins, Michael Pittman, wide receivers; Jalen Johnson, Legarius Sneed, cornerbacks; Antoine Winfield, safety; and Justin Madubuike, I hope I got that right, from the Ravens,
You
D
got it right,
tackle.
actually.
Hell yeah. Those guys are off the market, obviously. Allen, Burns, Sneed, names that the Rams have been linked to. If, start with this. Do you think, like, would you explore a trade for the franchise tag guys? I don't think I would, unless it's like a second for like Sneed, maybe. I think the Allen and Burns would cost way more than that, and I am personally not interested at this time, but I'm curious where your stance is.
I would absolutely offer like a second or a third round pick for for L'Jarius Sneed. I think that would be an awesome investment. Certainly a guy that the Rams could absolutely use, though I have to say I would immediately want to sign him to at least a 3 or 4 year contract.
Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about this today. Like, you think about the best cornerbacks the Rams have had over the last couple of years. Jalen Ramsey trade, Marcus Peters trade, Aqib Talib trade, newly free agent Jarius Williams, I think undrafted. But besides him, these guys have come in to trade. So, like, if you could get Sneed for a second-round pick, and I think if they traded for him, they would extend him. I think that is something they would explore. But I think the fact that he got franchised means they're probably not looking to deal him. Because they, I don't know. I mean, it would make sense either way for them. But I agree. If they are going to trade for him, I think they'd extend him. I think that is what would happen. But curious if any of those guys get moved. I feel like they usually don't.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
So follow-up to that is, now that we know who's on the market and we can run through some names out there in free agency, and if we have any interest, any guy in the league right now, who would be your number one choice for the Rams to chase after?
Oof. Number one. That's a tough one. I guess Daniel Hunter would definitely be among the top selections for me.
Yeah, that would be my number one as well.
Yeah, I mean, edge rusher, getting in a nice veteran guy out there would be ideal to play alongside Byron Young. I mean, there's a couple of other cornerback prospects that are intriguing as well. You know, Xavier Howard would be an excellent some player to take a look at. Tre'Davious White was recently cut this earlier today. the Bills are cleaning house there.
They cut a lot of players. They restructured Von Miller. They re-signed Taylor Rapp, 3 years, $15 million deal. So, hey, good for him. It's very amusing watching the Bills take their medicine. They don't want to become the Rams. You know, they just signed a bunch of our old players and didn't win anything.
Yeah, that sounds about right. They also signed, what's his name, our offensive guard.
David Edwards.
There you go. I drew Edwards. A blank there for a second.
Leonard Floyd. Ramsey's over there.
For real. But yeah, I would love to get Tre'Davious White or maybe Xavier Howard as well. I think those guys would be excellent options We've discussed this a couple times already, that it wouldn't be inconceivable for the Rams to, you know, attack free agency, get a cornerback, a veteran cornerback, and then later on add a cornerback as well, whether it be with the first round pick or second round pick. I think that would be the ideal scenario.
Yeah, White is really interesting because he's you know, for those not familiar with him, two-time All-Pro cornerback for the Buffalo Bills, played there for 7 seasons. He has been injured the last couple of years. Last year, tore his Achilles in week 4 and missed the whole season after that. Previously tore his ACL in 21. I think he played 22 or played a little bit in 22. But like that kind of to me feels like if they're not going to chase an elite corner, that might be the kind of guy to go after. Cause you know, I don't know how you feel. I don't think he's getting a massive payday with all these injuries. And I don't know if anyone can justify that.
No. And I agree. I don't think he's going to get a huge, massive contract, which is why I think this is a guy the Rams should look into, because you know, you don't even have to sign him long term. I think, you know, maybe have like a 1-year prove it contract, I think would be ideal here. And yeah, I mean, this makes it all the more essential for the Rams to draft a cornerback as well. Hopefully they can learn a lot from White as well.
Yeah, and similarly, though he'd probably be a little more expensive, Stephon Gilmore is out there, 33, going to be 34 right around the start of the season. Those he'd be a little more expensive than White, I think, but a likely cheaper option than like the Kendall Fullers of the world, who were probably going to command a bit more money. I think White could make a lot of sense if they don't choose to keep Witherspoon, or even if they do, just to get guys who have played football in there. And yeah, like that, going after a guy like that would give you more flexibility to go. Like, I'm completely aligned with you, and I think a lot of people are on going after Danielle Hunter, who is, you know, maybe the best non-skill player on the free agency market right now. That might be up for debate, but I think he's pretty firmly up there. Well, Chris Jones would be number one, I think. But just a fucking dog at edge rusher who had 16.5 sacks last year is a monster. I don't know what he would cost, but we will have money to spend even if we do pay Kevin Dotson 8 figures. I would love going after him and then taking a gamble on a Tre'Davious White or someone like that at cornerback, and then also investing in cornerback in the draft, even if it's not the first round, getting a cornerback or two on day one or day two, I think is the way to go. I mean, we need 5 cornerbacks pretty much. There's not a cornerback of value on the roster currently.
What are your thoughts on potentially going after Chase Young?
I'm not against it. Because he's probably going to be more, he's probably going to get paid more than what he's worth, right? Because yeah, you're going after the name, you're going after the potential, and it's worth taking a shot on him. I would personally much rather go with the more of a sure thing at that price, like Hunter. But I'm not against Chase Young. Where are you standing on him?
I'm basically looking at it like White, where I would basically ask him for a prove-it contract, which I don't know if he'd want to do that. I'm sure there's going to be a team out there that will overpay for him. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's basically – because I couldn't see locking him up for a multi-year contract. It just – especially because this isn't a guy that – has proven himself over the past couple of seasons. He went in the most ideal situation in San Francisco and really didn't shine, which a lot of people were expecting him to do. So I understand that it was kind of a mid-season trade and chemistry wasn't there and all that, but still not a good look at the end of it all.
I do think that somebody will give him like a 1-year big money contract, similar to like what we did with Leonard Floyd and Dante Fowler, but probably higher. You never know. Maybe it's us that does that, like you said. It wouldn't be the first time, as I mentioned, that we would go after something like that. But yeah, he's interesting. I just like, I think it depends if we like go after a bigger fish and strike out, because I do think like our money, in my opinion, and I'm not a GM, and if Lesnie disagrees, he usually knows more than me, unless he spends his money on like Calvin Ridley. But like my, if I'm them, I'm trying to go bag Danielle Hunter, or maybe one of the other higher end guys, and bring back Kevin Dotson, and then have some fun around the margins with Tre'Davious White type guys that you can get on more of a bargain. There's some interesting running backs in that field that we can talk about in a bit, maybe even receivers. But yeah, I'm not opposed to Young. I'm just looking at the free agency list. Like, this is probably the seventh straight year where we could talk about Jadeveon Clowney, who's on this list every year. And every year we're like, might as well take a gamble on Clowney. He's out there. He's not that much money.
And we never do.
Because he also, like, I feel like he also always gets more than you think he would.
That's true. Yeah. And I think it's just, like you said, a name and pretty much just the value at the position. So, yeah, I don't know if I'd be willing to throw a lot of money for an aged Clowney. I think if you're going to do that, there are certainly other guys you can pursue. But if you can get him on a cheaper deal, I would say why not?
I think he has finally gotten to the point where he's cheap. It took a long time to get there, but last year he made $4.5 million. I don't imagine his deal would be any more than that this year. Probably even less.
I would take a swing at him for $4.5 million.
Yeah, it's interesting because like they should chase an elite pass rusher. But if they are thinking about it in the draft, there are guys, you know, I think if you're thinking about an edge rusher at 19, you probably shouldn't go after Chase Young. But there are guys like Clowney, Shaq Barrett, Brandon Graham, just like older guys who probably aren't going to command a huge payday, that you could bring into be a transitional edge rusher. I think they should be not looking for transitional edge rushers personally. And especially if you're interviewing Romo Dunze, like maybe you don't want to chase an edge rusher at 19, but I don't know. It's not really a stacked free agency class. And so teams have more cap space than us. Somebody might throw an insane amount of money at Hunter. And somebody might throw an insane amount of money at, like, Kevin Dotson, and we can't keep him. It's always just chaos.
I would love to have Shaq Barrett, though. I know he's kind of up there already, but I don't think he's going to command a lot of money.
Yeah. I'd love Shaq Barrett, too. He'd be a cool, he'd be a cool addition. And he's been, you know, hasn't been great. And I think that's why. And he's 31. So, like, yeah, if they're ever going to get him in the building, it's probably the time. What other positions we want to talk about here? Anyone on your mind? I can keep rattling off, guys.
So there is one guy that I forget who wrote the article. I had read this about a few weeks ago that – it was just one of, I think it was, I don't remember. I don't want to throw a wrong name out there, but, somebody was entertaining the idea of the Rams going after potentially former, Cowboy left tackle Tyron Smith.
Oh yeah.
What are your thoughts there? Do you think that would be a acceptable use of the money for 2024?
It's tough because he's been banged up. He played great last year, but he's old. And, like, there are two ways to look at it. Like, the bear case would be he's old. Alaric Jackson is going to cost you, like, $5 million if you second-round tender him. And he played well enough, and this gives them more time to get their left tackle of the future in the building. Smith is old. Not too old. Like, he's still got some years left if he can stay healthy, which is a big if for Tyron Smith. The bear case, or the bull case, is Andrew Whitworth. Like, what was he, 36 when we signed him?
He was up there.
Gave us, three, 4 years of just unbelievable production. And unlike Tyron Smith, literally improved with the Rams, give us the best years of his career. And so Smith is, it's going to depend on price. I wouldn't shell out crazy amounts of money for Smith just because we have a guy who can play there. And then you look at, like, if you're going to spend insane amounts of money, we don't have guys that can play a cornerback, and we have one guy who can play defensive end edge rusher. So I'm intrigued. I don't think it's the route I would personally go, but if we come on this pod next week and Tyron Smith is on the team, I'm not going to be angry. It's not something that would get me mad if that's the route they choose to go. Where are you sitting?
It's an interesting thought, and one that I would be thrilled a couple of seasons ago, but it's tough because I could see it, especially depending on price range. If they can get him at a reasonable price, I think nobody would be upset with this move. And even if they still tendered, Alaric Jackson, you can theoretically move Jackson to the Joe Noteboom role, which is a guy that is essentially a backup, a spot starter, you know, that kind of player, because to have a guy fill that role for $5 million is not bad. It beats the, $20 million that Joe Noteboom would be if he was still, if he's still going to be on the team. And then you can just cut Noteboom without any issues there. So I like the idea. I really do. But I don't think it's, in the end, going to be reasonably priced for the Rams. I think there's just going to be too much demand on the market for a left tackle of his caliber, even at his aging, situation right now. I think there are going to be teams that are going to be throwing, a lot of money at him, and he's not going to pass up on it. So unless he really wants to be an LA Ram, I don't think he's going to be in Los Angeles, unfortunately.
Right, because if he were going to take less money to play for a contender, why would he leave? Like, why would he leave Dallas? Maybe there's a rift there that's unfixable, but I think he's going to go to a team that will pay him top dollar. And maybe that's us, but, like, I don't see. He hasn't played a full season since 2016.
Ouch.
Yeah. 2015. So since the Rams have been in Los Angeles, Tyron Smith has not played a full season.
Wow, that puts a lot of things into perspective, doesn't it?
Yeah, now, for context, until 2020, he was playing 13. He played 13 games in 16, 17, 18, 19, then 2, 11, 4, and then back to 13 last year, in a bounce-back year for him. So, I don't know. I think we'd have to strike out in a lot of other places. And there is a chance, too, that, like, the players are trying to sign go elsewhere, and they're sitting on money, and Tyron Smith is sitting there, You know what I mean? We saw this happen with Von Miller, where they were banking and banking and banking on Von Miller coming back. He doesn't. What do? Just throw $45 million at Allen Robinson. So, like, it's possible that that's the way free agency goes. Though I think Smith will be one of the quicker players to sign. He's the top option at a very important position.
Yeah, no question.
I mean, do you think, Smith aside, even if he, like, is he the only guy you would really chase at tackle? If it's not him, would you just stick with Alaric Jackson?
I think so. I think for me, I don't really see anyone else that I can honestly say would be a massive upgrade over Alaric Jackson. There are a few guys that you can make an argument for, but if I can just tender Alaric Jackson for $5 million,
right,
that I think I'm going to go that route. And if worst case scenario, if that doesn't even end up working out for whatever reason, I could go into the draft at pick number 19. There are plenty of guys that the Rams can look at. And, you know, I mean, left tackle is a bit harder for sure. But, you know, there are a couple guys that, you know, have my attention that can certainly play at left tackle.
Yeah, it's like you said, like Tyron Smith is worth paying for the upgrade if you can buy into his health. Any other than that, if you're not getting an elite guy, there are better players out there at left tackle. But like you said, they don't cost $5 million. So to me, I think it's more than likely they stick with him.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
How about tight ends? We might be without Tyler Higbee for quite a bit. Here are some names out there after Dalton Schultz signed a 3-year, $36 million deal with the Texans. Still out there. Hunter Henry, Noah Font, Gerald Everett, Colby Parkinson, Adam Trautman, Austin Hooper, Mike Gesicki, Logan Thomas, Jonnu Smith. I don't know, man. It's not exciting.
You know, I know that these aren't really thrilling names, but at the same time, I don't really expect the Rams to, go after the bigger, splashier names because we have a lot of money tied to Tyler Higbee anyway. So I think even if Higbee is healthy, in a hypothetical situation, even if Higbee was healthy, I think that the Rams are still in the best interest in looking at a veteran tight end, you know? But now there's a little more urgency because we don't know, you know, if and when Higbee will return in 2024. So in that regard, I can very easily see them looking at, like, maybe a Jonnu Smith or, any one of these guys, really.
Like a Logan Thomas or an Austin Hooper is, like, the guys. Yeah, just, like, guys who can play. But, I think because this market's so weak, like, people are going to talk themselves into Hunter Henry and Noah Font. And Gerald Everett. Like, I think they're going to get real, not like crazy money, but like real money. And I don't think we are looking to pay any tight end real money, nor should we.
No.
I think even Jonnu Smith might, not that I think he's very good, he might even be priced out for us. Like a Logan Thomas type guy who's probably just going to be like free. Just to have a vet in the building. I don't know. I don't. It'd be crazy if they wasted like money, real money on a tight end right now.
Interesting topic was, should the Rams trade up for a Brock Bowers, who is this year's top tight end in the draft? Steve, just curious, would you move up a couple spots to ensure that the Rams get Brock Bowers?
I don't know. I don't think I would trade up. But it's not impossible he's there at 19, right?
I would be surprised if the Bengals don't take him.
Yeah.
And they're at pick 18 right before us.
So, like, jumping up to 17, sure. And I think that's a little different than receiver, where it's like, you know, we just read off the free agent tight end market. It is a fucking disaster. So, if you don't believe that the Higby and Davis Allen combo can get you where it needs to be for the next 2 years, sure. Or if he just ends up being like the best player, like if the guys you want at other positions aren't there, then sure. I'm not against it, and he's the number one tight end prospect, so like I'm not against it. But I'm just a position of need type guy, and I think like we won a Super Bowl with Bryson Hopkins. Like we've gotten by here, and I think Davis Allen has real potential. Not to be Brock Bowers, but I don't know. I'm hesitant to trade up at all, unless it's for like a cornerback or an edge rusher or even a left tackle.
I think we could forget about the top tier left tackles.
Yeah, but if we're trading up. What are you at with Bowers? Would you trade up for him?
I want to say yes, I do, because I love his playmaking ability. But I also know that it's very rare to get a immediate impact tight end that can make an impact year one. If you ignore last season, where there was a couple, but... that was very unusual in that regard.
Yeah.
But particularly in the first rounds, it hasn't really gone too well. I mean, you look at the very lack of success in guys like Kyle Pitts, you know, didn't exactly work out.
I don't blame Kyle Pitts.
I don't either, but it's still worth noting.
He went fourth, so yeah.
Yeah, that's another issue, but
I'll read you the tight ends who have gone in the first round in the last couple years. 2023, Dalton Kincaid, Kyle Pitts in 21 at fourth. I think he was the highest tight end in like the modern era. 2019, TJ Hockenson, Noah Font. 2018, Hayden Hurst. 2017, OJ Howard, Evan Ingram, David Njoku. 2014, Eric Ebron. 2013, Tyler Eifert.
Those are names.
Yeah, 2010, Jermaine Gresham. So, like, the hit rate is low. It's low, and the guys who have panned out, Kyle Pitts aside, because he did have 1,000 yards as a rookie, and then I don't know what the fuck happened. But, like, the TJ Hockenson, Noah Font draft, like, Font was, like, mildly productive and then gets traded to Seattle and is just no man's land and we have no idea what he is. Hockenson's a stud, but it took years for him to get to that point. And, like, the draft before that is Hayden Hurst, who's just, like, very mid. OJ Howard, Evan Ingram, David Njoku, three tight ends in the first round. Howard was productive early and then cratered. Njoku, this was 2017, like, is just getting good in, what, year six? Evan Ingram is like a outlier case because he's like simultaneously great and terrible. So, yeah, I don't know. That made me not want to take him at exercise.
So it is a very big risk whenever you're drafting a tight end in the first round or high at all. But Brock Bowers is special.
Yeah. And it would be nice to have a good tight end. Because, like, no matter what age of Rams fan you are, none of us have ever experienced it.
Not since Red Phillips.
Like, Tyler Higbee is the best tight end in franchise history. At least, like, in the last, like, 40 years.
Yeah. That says a lot.
Yeah, he's fine. He's fine. Hey, how about we talk a little running backs? I'm going to read you the running backs on the market. Saquon Barkley, Josh Jacobs, Derrick Henry, Tony Pollard, Austin Eckler, DeAndre Swift, J.K. Dobbins, Devin Singletary, Gus Edwards, A.J. Dillon, Zach Moss, Dante Foreman, Antonio Gibson, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. There's a lot of name brand guys on this list, and they can't all get paid because running backs don't get paid. And when like Saquon Barkley, Josh Jacobs, and Derrick Henry are at the top of the market, those guys are going to eat the good jobs very quickly. And then the rest of the guys, who's going to pay them? And so you're going to be like, the Rams are going to be in an interesting position here where like, I actually do think they should sign a running back because there are players on this, like even like beyond like the guys who we consider like very good. Like Austin Eckler was good in 2022. He was one of the best running backs in the league. Nobody's paying this dude. Like there's no chance he gets a big payday and you could get him fairly cheap. I think the path I like them to go is J.K. Dobbins personally. I think he's going to be borderline free. And if it doesn't work out, who cares? We have Kyren Williams. But, like, if you can keep him healthy because he's going to be a backup running back, like, shit, man. That'd be pretty cool. Big if. I like Antonio Gibson. I don't think he'll get a lot of money either. Anyone on here standing out to you? I mean, like, we're not getting Derrick Henry. We're not getting Saquon Barkley. But there are names here that we could chase.
I kind of like the idea of Gus Edwards also.
I don't hate Gus Edwards either.
I think that Gus Edwards honestly doesn't get the love he deserves. And, you know, I think him being in a reserve role like this behind Kyren Williams, I think would be ideal. So I could talk myself into Gus Edwards. I wouldn't hate J.K. Dobbins. Antonio Gibson, I think, would be a solid player to have as well. I don't think we'll have a shot at really A.J. Dillon, nor that do we really need him.
Yeah, I don't love A.J. Dillon. I don't think he's, like, he's going to be, I think he'd be a tad more expensive than, like, J.K. Dobbins or Gus Edwards in theory. I don't think he's giving you, like, enough yang to the yin of Kyren Williams, where I think like Antonio Gibson probably would give you something different. I don't know. Maybe I'm just completely misidentifying AJ Dillon.
No, I mean, AJ Dillon is supposed to be a bruiser, so not really what the Rams need, but he's a name.
Yeah. I would love J.K. Dobbins, man. I would love that signing so much.
Oddly enough, he was in the same draft as, you know, your boy.
What a crazy draft that turned out to be. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Jonathan Taylor, Cam Akers, J.K. Dobbins, DeAndre Swift. A.J. Dillon was there too, right?
Was he?
That's it. I mean, he's coming up at free agency at the same time. Was Antonio Gibson in that class too?
I think he was, yes.
Just a class that, like, everyone, with the exception of Clyde Edwards-Helaire, started out with a lot of promise, and then just like besides Taylor, who even Taylor dipped a little bit for a time, just kind of cratered. DeAndre Swift obviously brought himself back to life. He's an interesting guy. I think him and Tony Pollard are probably just going to go back to their teams because the market is Derrick Henry and Josh Jacobs and Saquon to me. I don't know why you would pay any of these other guys when those are the guys in the market. Yeah, man. What other we missed? Should we talk about wide receivers before we wrap up?
I think we almost have to, considering considering we're obviously scouting them with Mike Evans.
Yeah, man. These are the names out there. Hollywood Brown, Calvin Ridley, Darnell Mooney, Gabe Davis, Odell, Tyler Boyd, Curtis Samuel, Kendrick Bourne, DJ Chark, Michael Thomas, Josh Reynolds. I think we need to go deeper than Josh Reynolds. Michael Thomas is a guy who, in theory, I would love to throw a dart at, but I don't think he makes sense for us. Like, I don't think he's giving you, like, he does a lot of the same stuff that Cooper Kupp can do.
I don't know about him. I feel like his best days are gone.
I agree, but we shouldn't be chasing the guys in their prime. Like, for sure. We should not throw money at Calvin Ridley unless he's just, like, free.
But I love Calvin Ridley. I want the Riddler on the team.
Odell.
Oh, he should be cheaper now.
He definitely will be. I don't know. It's weird because, like, I don't think giving DeMarcus Robinson $5 million should prevent you from looking at receivers. But, like, should we really throw $6 or $7 million at Odell? I just love the guy so much. I wouldn't care.
I wouldn't hate it. I wouldn't be jumping for joy either, but I wouldn't hate it.
Yeah, I think ultimately they probably draft somebody probably higher than we want them to.
I swear, if they move into the top 10 to get Odunze, I'm going to be pissed.
Yeah, until you see him play.
Well, I mean, I don't get me wrong. I like Odunze. I think he's a solid prospect. But considering this is not a huge need, and if you're going to move up to the top 10, get an offensive tackle. Go get Joe Alt. You know, it's such a ridiculous thing to think about, but the fact that they sat there and interviewed him just is incredible to me.
Carson Wentz, you think he's back? I think he's back.
I hope he's back. I don't see why you wouldn't. I believe it was Rams Wire that suggested maybe they should look at Jacoby Brissett, but I think he's going to cost far more than what. Yeah, I would love Brissett. Don't get me wrong.
I think he's, dude. I mean, maybe they can get Sam Howell because after watching Jacoby Brissett play, who the fuck is putting Sam Howell on the roster? Like, who will be chasing starting quarterbacks right now? I think it's the question. Even, like, stopgap guys. I'm going to count these out loud. The Patriots, the Giants, the Commanders. The Giants are maybe.
Raiders.
The Raiders, yeah. The Steelers are maybe. The Broncos.
Vikings. Could make an argument for the Saints.
No. They're gonna stick with Carr. The Falcons. I'm not gonna put the Bears on here because they're either keeping their quarterback or drafting Caleb Williams. Maybe the Titans, but I think the Titans it seems like they'll probably play Levis for a year, right?
I actually like Levis's potential. He just needs some protection and actual receivers to throw to.
Yeah, so that's eight teams. You got to think you can knock. Well, we didn't knock the Bears off. So knock at least two off for the draft, probably three, right? That gets you down to five. And then there's Kirk Cousins, Baker Mayfield, Russell Wilson. I would imagine are all starting on teams next year. How many rookie quarterbacks do you think will get drafted in the first round to start?
Honestly, I could see as many as five.
Yeah, I could see that too. But even if like you're looking at stopgap quarterbacks, Ryan Tannehill, Gardner Minshew, Jacoby Brissett, Jameis Winston, I think are all more interesting options than Carson Wentz.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Once you get to like Sam Darnold, like probably not. Tyrod Taylor, probably not. Drew Locke.
Oh, God, no.
Did you watch that game, though? You watched that Monday night game with Drew Locke?
I guess.
Pro Bowler Tyler Huntley. Yeah, I'm interested to see how much money Wentz gets. I think he's back on like a $3 or $4 million deal. And I hope. I really hope so. We can't afford Brissett. There's no way.
No, I don't think so either. But honestly, I really liked Wentz. I thought that he did a solid job in the one game he started. You know, maybe he wasn't, you know, a true, you know, starter as a backup, but you know, I'll take him over. You know, what are our other options at the moment? Dresser Win?
Stetson Bennett. You want a backup who, like, if your quarterback, knock on wood, we don't want this to happen. If your quarterback goes down with a serious injury and you're a contender and you have to start your backup, you want your reaction, because it's never going to be like, we're good. You want your reaction to be like, we'll see. You don't want it to be like, we're fucked. And Carson Wentz is like a we'll see type guy. Where in the past we've had plenty of not like that guys. And we've seen around the league, plenty of teams have continued to trot out god-awful backups. Wouldn't shock me if they draft another quarterback on day three because they're maniacs. But I think they'll keep Wentz around. I wouldn't hate Drew Locke. I wouldn't hate him.
Are you serious?
As our backup? Like, I wouldn't hate it. And this is just because I watched that one game this year. And I was fucking fired up, man.
I would seriously rather have Wentz.
Yeah, I would too. But, like, if Wentz is off the table.
Please stay Wentz.
There are, like, no kickers. Kemi Forbane re-signed with the Texans. There are, like, no kickers, man.
Yeah, I mean, Fairbairn was kind of the last hope for free agent kickers. So it looks like the Rams are most likely going to draft one. At the very least, I hope so.
I hate this so much, dude. I hate this so much.
Yeah, but...
Greg Zuerlein is a free agent.
At this point, I may... say okay.
I'd be fine with it. Fuck, man. Any other positions? Let me make sure that nothing happened while we were doing this podcast.
I mean, I suppose we can look at safety, but it's kind of a moot point because we very, very rarely sign veteran safeties unless you count John Johnson from last season. But that's because we basically got him for nothing, and he has roots with the Rams. Otherwise, the Rams very seldomly go after safety. Yeah, I guess you can count Weddle.
Yeah, I think they'll... I'd be surprised if... You know, I think they probably just keep John Johnson for very cheap. I think that, like... Maybe if they don't keep him, they look for some John Johnson types on the garbage heap. The more I think about it, and when you see guys like Quandre Diggs, Jamal Adams, Jordan Poyer hitting the market.
I'd love Poyer.
But what it's making me think is that I'm officially not ruling out Jordan Fuller coming back. Because all those guys are way better.
Oh, and no
question. So, like, what's the market going to be him for? If you could sign Jordan Fuller to a 2-year, $10 million deal, like, you do it, right?
I suppose if you're not going to seriously look at upgrading, then yes. I'd rather have Poyer, though, if we're going to sign a Jordan.
But go after Poyer. They're not going to pay a safety. And so, like, depending on where your other money goes, like, dude, that's the Joe Noteboom money. Like, if they cut Joe Noteboom and re-sign Jordan Fuller, say less. Say less. That $5 million. Pro Football Focus has him at $4.6 million a year. So, like, yeah, if really nobody throws money at him, which I'm starting to think it's less and less likely. Continuity matters. He's a well-liked guy. He was a captain. He wore the green dot for a bit. Sure. Sure. Anything more than that, I think I'm out, but I'm warming up to the idea.
You mean to tell me you don't want to keep Joe Noteboom?
No. And I'm interested to see how that happens. Well, we went for a while. There's a chance that none of this is relevant by the time you're listening. I hope it was. just, yeah, man. Anything else?
Nope. Just I'm looking forward to free agency, and I'm going to continue nerding out on NFL draft stuff.
It's going to be an exciting month, 2 months until we get to the draft. 49 days at the time of this podcast being released until the draft.
I'm so far away.
We have real picks. I can't wait to dig in. Hopefully we'll get some draft guests on. But yeah, hit us on Twitter at C Ribeiro, at Johnny596, at Talk Rams. And we will talk to you guys soon.